Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove, and with me, the newly released from the hospital, the super producer, Jason.
Greetings, everyone. I picked this up a couple of fans while I was in the hospital, too.
Did you?
Yeah, two doctors and a radiologist.
Sweet. What about all the nurses? Are they just...
We can't talk about that on the air.
Okay, I was going to say, they're not fans of the podcast. They're just fans of the super producer. Is that what you're...
It's about the size of it, yeah.
Jason, I set you up. You could have been like, greetings, everyone. You know, you could have really, you know, but you just came out strong. Like, you know, nothing was even wrong with you.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, I don't feel that way. I feel like I'm experiencing life through a tunnel right now. I have so much antibiotics in me.
Holy moly. Well,
enough about me. Let's get on. We have a spectacular guest tonight.
Well, we do. We do. But first, before we get to our guest, I want to say while you were laid up in the hospital, we hit a milestone on YouTube for our YouTube channel. We went over 1,000 subscribers. So to all our fans out there, our loyal listeners who get on YouTube and listen to us through that way, we appreciate you guys hitting the subscribe button.
We appreciate it and continue to share it.
Yeah, 1,000 members or subscribers is a big milestone in the YouTube world.
Yeah, that's the first step right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first step towards financial independence.
Well, in our case, improving our quality, improving our quality and putting out a better product for all of our loyal fans. So they won't be ashamed to tell their friends to become loyal fans.
Well, our guest tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening to this, he came to us through one of our social media platforms. So as always, if you got a good story to tell us, if you have an experience you want to share, get a hold of me on Instagram, Shane Grove Author, or From the Shadows Podcast Instagram. Find us on Facebook at our forum page, After the Shadows, or our Facebook page, From the Shadows Podcast, or just go to the website, FromTheShadowsPodcast.com, find our contact button and send us an email. And I'm going to just throw it out there. There's big changes coming to the website, but we won't talk about that just yet. We'll keep everybody in suspense. So before we go any further left of center, let's bring our guest on. I think he's going to keep us down the straight and narrow path, so to speak. So joining us is Chewy from Idaho. Chewy, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Chewy.
Hey, thanks, Shane and Jason, for letting me come on this show. Love your guys' show, and I'm pretty stoked to be here tonight and share some of these encounters.
Oh, we appreciate it. I know we've been trying to make this work, and, you know, Jason taking a vacation didn't help, but we won't rag on him anymore about vacation. That.
All right.
So Chewy, go ahead. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're at in the country. I mean, I said Idaho, but you know, I know you want to kind of paint a picture for everybody so they can enjoy these encounters that you've been having.
All right. Well, my name is Chewy, and I live in Twin Falls, Idaho, which is southern Idaho. And I'm a pastor, husband, father, and I'm 37 years old. And the area that I live in is called the Magic Valley. And the city of Twin Falls is built right on the rim of this huge canyon. And this canyon is actually deeper than the Grand Canyon. It's the deepest canyon in America. And the deepest part of it is called Hell's Canyon, which has a lot of creepy stuff, hence the name. And it's just a beautiful area. It's the Magic Valley itself sits in the high desert, and but we're surrounded by, you know, the Sawtooth Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Smoky Mountains, and it's just a beautiful area. And this canyon rim, there's a trail there. There's a, you know, people go skydiving, or they go parachuting off this bridge. It's like the only place in the world that you can do it anytime you want. There's always thrill seekers coming from all around the world to jump off the bridge. And right across the canyon is, according to the research that I've done, and they really push that here, is the largest lava cave in the world, which is pretty freaking awesome to go down there. And, you know, they let you do tours and all that. So it's a beautiful area. 1.7 million people in our state. So there's not very many people here at all. And it's, you know, it's a pretty decent sized state. And so it's just a great area. Lots of hiking, fishing, camping. We basically live outdoors here in Idaho. And especially there's not many people here. You can be camping and you'll never run into another soul for days out there. So that's where I live.
I'm actually like looking up some pictures of this. And I mean, you sent me a video of the lava cave, which was, yeah, that's pretty creepy, I think. But this place looks amazing. Like, I can't believe you're not sitting outside right now talking to us. You know, I mean, it's hard to believe. And, you know, especially, I mean, I've never been out west, how beautiful and some of that country is, you know, and just, it does seem magical when you start looking at, you know, the waterfalls and the canyons and the mountains and, you know.
It's like God's country. It makes you feel closer to God.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can anything crazy happen out in the middle of this beautiful country?
Well, this canyon, I really do think all these encounters and the encounters that me and my family have had stem from this canyon. This canyon, it's hundreds of miles long. It goes into Nevada, to Utah, to Oregon, and it just runs through the whole southern part of our state. So, and, you know, like I said, it's in all these different areas. So I believe, you know, Sasquatch and who knows what else uses it to travel for, you know, I've noticed it's around the colder months is when a lot of people report stuff, and a lot of stuff happens is in the colder months. So I think they tend to travel at certain times of the year through my area.
So you think they get down in the canyon because it's as little populated as it is up top.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or whatever creatures are passing, there is even a less chance of them to be noticed down in that canyon then.
Yep, exactly. It's so massive, man. Like I said, it's unreal. And there's just endless caves, and the caves are pretty much inaccessible, most of them, because, you know, the canyons is hundreds of feet deep. And so, you know, you'll have a canyon about, or a cave about 75 feet off the ground from the bottom, and another one 150, and then 250, and so on and so on throughout the whole canyon for hundreds of miles.
Wow. I'm looking out, and even in the dark I can see the cornfield and the bean field, and I just, you know, it's here in the middle of Ohio, and it's hard to imagine stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, we love it here.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, Shane. You might have to share that on our forum. Share that on the Shadows.
Like what? The Twin Falls?
Yeah.
The Twin Falls Chamber of Commerce move, you know, we're cryptids.
Well, one of the other things I forgot to mention, it's called Twin Falls because there's two huge, massive waterfalls, and it's called the Niagara of the West, and it's not as high, or it might not be as wide, but I know it rivals the Niagara Falls because I mean it's just a huge.
Yeah, I saw the picture. It was unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable to see that to just think that you just where you live is just right there. Everything, all this stuff that you're describing is just right there at your back door.
Yeah.
So tell us about what is going on there in Twin Falls that you have encountered or what some of the other people have encountered that you know.
All right. Well, so the main canyon, it's the Snake River Canyon, and it kind of spider webs out to multiple little canyons throughout southern Idaho. And one of those little canyons is called Rock Creek Canyon. It's about 300 yards from my house, so it's not far at all. And it's spider webs, you know, like a little miniature canyon. And so we moved to this part of Twin Falls a few years ago. And, you know, it's right by the littler canyon, and there's bike trails and hiking trails, all that cool stuff. So my family and I go down there one day, like the first week we moved here, and we go for a walk on this little canyon rim trail. And I'm looking for an entrance just to hike down inside the canyon. So we're looking for one. And there's a house that's closer to the canyon than I am. And there was a gentleman outside and we're walking. And I ask him, I'm like, hey, is there a entrance down here to this part of the canyon? And he tells me, no, there's not. You don't want to go down this part. He goes, you want to go around to the main entrance, which means we have to drive not far, just the other side of the canyon, but you know, we have to get in our vehicles, go around the bridge. So I'm like, okay, thank you. And I just kept walking in that area, and lo and behold, I found a trail right where this guy's house was at. And so we start hiking down there, and you know, me, my wife, and my two daughters, you know, at the time one was 8 and the other was 4. And so we start walking down there, and it starts to get pretty rugged. And so we just come back up. And we end up going home. We're like, oh, that was cool. And about a week later, we go for a walk again. And this area where we went down in there, the city put a giant fence with like these big welded bars and, you know, keep out and no trespassing, all that stuff. And I was like, that's odd. This is a little suspicious, you know, that we were just down there and a guy's like, don't go there. And then all of a sudden there's a big fence. And so I thought that was strange. And right on the opposite side of the canyon from where we live is the Livestock Commission. And in Idaho, we have a lot of beef cattle. And so they auction these cattle off and all that, but they don't let them go in the canyon. They stay on the rim of this canyon. But I've seen one down there before, like it escaped somehow. And one night I was doing something outside and I heard this cow just screaming bloody murder down there because it's not far at all from my house. And it's just screaming and it's gurgling like it's being eaten alive, man. And I'm like, holy crap, that's crazy to hear that. And so, you know, as I'm a pastor, I go to church that weekend and I'm doing something outside and I see this truck outside and it has a Bigfoot sticker on it, on the truck. And the guy's out there and I, you know, we just start talking and he's a member of our church, and we started seeing we had stuff in common. You know, he's a great guy. We became like really good friends, and he's a federal investigator, and he works for the Department of Environmental Quality. And so his job is outside investigating. He goes and checks the water sources, makes sure people stay up to code and all that. So he started telling me about, we got into Bigfoot because of the sticker, and he started telling me all the stories that he's gotten as an investigator in this area. And I was like, wow. And I told him, I'm like, hey, you know what? We went down this area in the canyon and they put this fence up. And, you know, a while later we heard this cow being eaten. And he goes, that's pretty suspicious. He goes, you know what? We should go down there and just investigate, because he knows that there are encounters of Bigfoot down there, of Sasquatch. And so we made a kind of a plan. We're like, okay, let's go down in the day. And, you know, we won't go at night. So we did that. We met up at my house and we drove in my vehicle to the canyon, which again is 300 yards or so from my house. So we go down there and we don't even take flashlights because we're not planning on staying in the nighttime. So we go walking down. We start, you know, just looking for evidence and stuff. We're having a good time. And when you go down this trail or the entrance of the canyon, it's a, you know, there's a grade going down. And when you get to the bottom, the trail, you could either take left or right. So we took a left and we walked out there for maybe about 20, 30 minutes. And we got to an area that had another big fence and, you know, trespassing. And he goes, we're going to go across it. And I'm like, he goes, if they say anything, he goes, I'm just going to say, you know, I'm investigating the area. Because he's got his, you know, his badge and all that. I'm like, okay, so we go walking in there. And you know how you can take a piece of grass and put it between your thumbs and you can do like wounded animal calls, wounded rabbit calls. So we started doing that just to mess around. And all of a sudden we heard this huge growl come from inside the tree, the bush, you know, the bushes. And we froze in our tracks. And to me, I was like, I think that's a mountain lion. I hope that's a mountain lion. And he's like, I think it's a mountain lion. So he's like, let's back up, you know, because there's mountain lions everywhere all over our area. They always come into town and they have to be euthanized. And so we started backing it up and I backed up about 10 feet and I just, my back, you know, hit a tree and I just looked up at it. And about 10 foot up this tree, it's just shredded, man. Like somebody took a chainsaw and they just shredded this tree. And it looked like, it reminded me when a grizzly tears the bark up on the trees. And here in Idaho, we have grizzly bears, but they're mostly in northern Idaho and northeast Idaho. Because, you know, in Idaho, we have Yellowstone National Park is in Idaho as well. So there's a lot of grizzlies up there. But it reminded me of that. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. There's no grizzlies here, you know. So we decided we should back out. We backed out of that area and we went to the right. We just took the other route. So we start walking and we're talking and having a good time. And we're looking in the creek bed. We see lots of raccoon tracks. We see mountain lion tracks, just a lot of different critters down there. And before we know it, we're about, I'd say an hour, maybe an hour and a half from our vehicle, and it starts to get dark. And, you know, when you're in good company, the time flies, because we were like talking and just having a great time talking about all kinds of cryptids, and it was just good. And before I knew it, it was already getting dark. And above the canyon, the sun will start setting, and inside the canyon, it can be pitch black already because it's deep, you know, it's a deep canyon. So it got really dark and we were like, okay, maybe we should go because it's dark and our eyes were starting to get used to the darkness. So we're like, I'll just go a little bit more. So we start walking a little bit more and we noticed as we got into this canopy area where the trees cover the trail and you can't see any moonlight, it's just like pitch black in there. And as soon as we got in that canopy, it got creepy, man. Like I had the heebie-jeebies, I like to say, and I didn't say anything. And he said it. He goes, it's creepy down here. There was no noises. Like even at night down there, you're going to hear even some birds at night. You're going to hear a lot of different creatures at night and crickets and all that. There's frogs in the creek. We didn't hear anything. And it was really strange. And so as we're walking, I see this maybe about 50 feet or so in front of us, a big black mass on the right side of the canyon trail. And I see it and my heart is racing. And I'm like, okay, that's gotta be a small tree or a big stump or something, you know, is what my mind is saying. And when I saw it, like I didn't say anything to my friend, and he stops me in my tracks, and he saw it too. And then it moved. It took three strides, three steps, and it crossed a 30-foot trail, because the trail itself is about 10 feet, and you got 10 feet on each side before the tree line. So I could see it was bipedal, and it was really weird. It wasn't like moving like a person. A person, you're going to see them kind of bob or something. And it just looked, it wasn't floating, but it almost looked like the body didn't move, but only the legs did. And three steps and it crossed, and I didn't say anything. And you know, when somebody confirms your worst fear, he goes, a creature just passed in front of us without me even telling him. He said that, and my heart dropped. And I was turned around, I was gonna run, and he grabbed me. He says, "Don't run." He goes, "Don't run." He goes, "It's gonna make it worse." And we just stood our ground. And then when it crossed the trail, it went into the heavy bush and the trees, and we could hear it snapping branches. And I don't know if it was doing it with its hands, or if it was on purpose, or if it was just crushing them as it was walking, but it was coming towards us. And so we started backing it up, and I didn't have a firearm. He had a firearm on him. He wasn't pointing it, but he already had it in his hand. And I had just a pocket knife. And you know, I like to say this joke, you know, I'm Hispanic and he's my white friend, so I told him, I hope this thing likes white meat and not dark meat, man, because we're in trouble here, you know. And so we started backing it up, and no joke, man, this thing followed us. We walked, and it would walk. We could hear it, and we could hear a low growl. Like, this growl was not really, really like a roar, but just a low growl. And we just kept backing it up, and it followed us. We'd stop, and it would stop. And then we heard another sound farther behind it, like there was more than one. And so we walked back to back, basically. I was watching it in front of me, and he was watching him back, and we walked all the way out. And once we got out of the canopy area into the moonlight to where we can see, this thing would not come out of the blackness, of the pitch blackness. It stayed in the blackness. It didn't want to come out, I guess, to be seen. And when we first saw it, it was, like I said, it's so dark in there in that canopy. Like, you can barely see it, but you can see this black was blacker than the blackness around it. It was really weird. And so when we backed out of the canyon or out of the canopy, it stopped. It didn't come out. And so once we got maybe about, I'd say 300 yards from the canopy, we ran. You know, we took off. We took off running. You know, when people say, like, I'm a grown man, I don't run from anybody. Well, that day we both ran, and we ran up back to the grade. We got in my vehicle, and we drove. And we came back to my house. And you know, I have a man cave where I do a lot of studying and just hanging out and stuff. And so I have a bottle of bourbon that we bust out for, you know, special occasions. So I took that bourbon out and I poured us both the glass, and I looked at him. I'm like, dude, did that just happen? I'm like, did that really just happen? And he's like, man, it happened. It followed us. And I'm like, bro, it's just down the street from my house. I'm like, that's crazy that it's down there. And so we, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and we ended up going back a couple of days later in the daytime. And he's hunted all of his life, and he's, you know, like I said, he's an investigator, so he's good at judging distances and size and all that. And the estimation that we had of this thing was 8 foot tall, and the bulk of it, man, it was bulkier than a refrigerator. You know, it looked like a just that giant mass, man. So 8 foot tall, maybe 400 to 500 pounds. And the way it crossed that 30-foot path in three strides was, I mean, it just blew us away. And we didn't find any tracks or anything there. We didn't see any evidence of it. And so when I got home that night, you know, my wife, when he left, my wife's like, she's like, how did it go? Because my wife, she used to not believe in any of this. She used to not want to, she thought it was just like, you know, for just a hobby that I had. And I told her, oh, we had some action down there. We saw something, and it kind of followed us. It was huge. And she's like, oh, that's cool. You know, I'm glad you're making friends and doing stuff out in the wilderness. And
I'm glad you're,
I'm glad you almost died in the canyon, but that's okay. Glad you're making friends.
Yes, she took it very lightly. She took it very lightly because, like I said, she really didn't believe in this stuff. And so, but that was soon about to change for the next things I'm going to tell you guys. But
well, I just gotta ask a couple things. So when you said, I thought, man, you guys hoped it was a mountain lion. Yeah. I'm like, why would you hope it was a mountain lion? Now I understand why you hope it was a mountain lion. And so the next time, so I'm hoping that the next time that you think, oh, we don't need a flashlight, it's not going to get dark, that you check that off the list. But I would have asked a little bit about your friend. Okay. So he's out investigating, obviously, natural resources and stuff. And what was his take on why they would just put gates up and say, don't go down? I mean, because what's the difference between going down one side of the canyon versus the other side of the canyon? You know?
Yeah.
You ended up in the same place, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what he said. He's like this, and he's firmly believes, and he works, and he's shared some stories with me that his, those higher in rank have talked to him about how these Bigfoots are federally registered and acknowledged with the federal government. And so he believes that when they're located or they're known to inhabit a certain area down in the canyon, they'll block it off and make it to where you can't go down there either, to just for your own, basically for your own safety, and that they don't get found out, that people don't discover that they're down there. So that's what he was saying. I told him about the fence and all that. He's like, oh, we're going to go down there. He was that. So he really straight up will say, no, the government knows they're there, and they put those signs and fences to keep people out so they don't run into them.
So are they doing it for your protection or for their protection, like the animals' protection?
I was just going to say, I think they're doing it to keep them concealed, because they do the same thing in Washington State.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, he says that they just don't want people to know that they're real, and to keep them from people getting taken and eaten and stuff out there. Because he's researched all those missing persons reports and all that. Yeah, so that's his take on that, that it was... those are deliberately put up there to keep people out from something, and we wanted to find out what it was.
Wouldn't it be easier just to tell people, say, hey, look, these things are out there, go at your own risk? You know, I mean, rather than, because it didn't stop you guys from going down there, you know, and it doesn't, you know, and I do understand, like, the national park system, and that's a huge moneymaker. Huge moneymaker. So, and you do not want to scare everybody out of the national parks. And if a couple people end up as lunch, meh, so be it. You know, it's just, I mean, really, I mean, that's kind of like, seems like the attitude of, some casualties, no big deal, you know, no big deal. Jeez. So your buddy is a firm believer. Now, was that his first experience personally?
Or? No, that with Bigfoot creatures. And I mean, he's had a lot of cryptid encounters as a kid. You know, he had an encounter when he lived in Washington for a few years, but he was born in Idaho. And so that's what led him to just have this. That's kind of even the reason why he got into the industry that he got into. Was because he loved being outside, and all the investigations that he's done, he always had cryptids on his mind. He was always looking for evidence and all that stuff. And so Idaho, the canyon area, also is a trout capital of the world. Like, we have a lot of trout here. There's a lot of fish hatcheries, and so his department was the water. So he'd go out and check the creeks and check on the fish hatcheries, all the big factories here, that to make sure that they're doing the right things with the water and putting their stuff back into the rivers and all that. And so he shared a story with me about the one of these fish hatcheries that one of these guys was losing, with these owners were losing a lot of fish. And so they started waiting to see, they knew it was people because people steal their other fish. They do that a lot. They'll go with nets or they'll go and fish at night and just take steelhead, salmon, trout, all that. So these guys are waiting to see who's stealing their fish. And like at 3 a.m, they go down there and they see, three huge figures. And when they got close, they said that they had these giant baskets made out of wood, and they were shifty, grabbing all these fish with these wooden baskets and running back into the tree line. And that's what he told me that was told to him. And they didn't know what it was. They just said really big people were out here, like really big, at night, and they had homemade nets out of wood that they were stealing my fish. And so we know what that is now. You know, we know these Bigfoot would come down and they'll eat people's fish. You know, they'll just, it's, I mean, all these fish are just in these open, basically tanks is how they look.
And that's, I mean, I've listened to and talked to a lot of people. I've never really heard of a Bigfoot type animal using like a net or something, you know, like that they had the ability to, I mean, if we think they make nests and stuff like that, of course they could probably fashion together some sort of contraption, like a net or a basket, if they really wanted to. So that in itself is kind of a unique story, hearing that they were using something like that to help catch fish.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting when he told me that. I was like, wow. I was like, so they build baskets or something basically to go and load up on these fish.
Yeah, that is crazy. Or maybe it was just the last knucklehead that got caught in the dark in the canyon. It was their rib cage, and they just had their rib cage. Isn't that stupid? So, and before we go in, so other than mountain lions, what other, I mean, what else is down there in that canyon that, is there, I'm assuming, are there deer, are there antelope, are there, you know, other than the trout, like to feed, and what would be other predators down there?
They have, basically there's been black bears spotted down there, deer, elk, mountain lions, wolverines, badgers, raccoons, coyotes, all kinds of, I mean, even in our town, we get moose that come into town and, you know, it's all over social media and stuff. So there's a lot of animals that travel through that whole canyon system.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's a lot of predators and there's a lot of food.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So let's get back. So what proved to your wife then that, you weren't just out there playing hacky sack with your buddy in the canyon?
Well, about some time passes by, not much time, I'd say a week, 2 weeks max, after we saw that, you know, that creature down there. And I'm only living about, you know, 300 yards or so from this canyon. You know, my wife tells me, she's like, in the morning, and one, you know, a couple of weeks after, she's like, hey, something big was on our roof last night. I'm like, what? She's like, something big. She goes out, we were sleeping. I heard a big bang, a big thump. And then she could hear walking right on our roof. She goes, it was right above our bed, right in our bedroom. She says that she was petrified and frozen in fear. Like, she tried to wake me up, but she was so afraid to even move that she just didn't, she couldn't wake me up. And she was all like waiting to hear it move again. And she says she waited a long time, and she goes, man, maybe it was like a dream or something, or like a half dream stage or something. So some time went on and she went back to bed. And so she told me that, and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. And at this time, and so Idaho's crazy with the weather. It'll snow and it'll be back to, you know, 60 degrees. And then the next day it's 29 degrees, you know, and it's crazy. So it was already going into fall, and fall we get sometimes really early snow. So anyways, I know it was snowing lightly that night, So I went outside and I'm like, okay, if there's anything up there, there's going to be some kind of evidence. And I go up there and there, I could see tracks on the roof, but the snow covered them. But I could still see indentations and movement on the roof. And I'm like, what the heck? But I couldn't tell what it was. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is. Maybe my mind is trying to go for rational explanations. So I'm like, maybe it was a giant owl that she heard bang on there and was hopping or something. I don't know. And so I kind of just blew it off. And then another week or so goes by and I'm sleeping 3-4 in the morning. Something wakes me up and it's like some kind of noise woke me up. And, you know, the bump in the night, you know, I knew something woke me up. So I got up and I was like, listening, couldn't hear anything, and my mind went to the roof from the week prior, and I'm like, and I started getting freaked out. I'm like, is that what I heard? And so I go to my little girl's rooms. I check the windows are locked, the doors are locked. They're sleeping like little, you know, bugs snugging in the rug. Everybody's sleeping. So I go and I shut the lights on and off. I flicker them outside, and I wait. Well, I don't hear anything, but it's snowing again. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to go back to bed. So I go back to bed. And in the morning, I go and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go look out there again. And I go out there and the snow stopped late in the night. So whatever. And I looked and sure enough, man, there was more tracks on my roof. And I mean, it was crazy. I was like, what in the heck? And I sent you guys that picture. I went across my fence and I took a picture and I'm looking at these things and they look like triangle kind of, you know, the front of the track is wide and it kind of goes down to a triangle and it has like a canine kind of a vibe to it. And I'm like, what in the heck is that? But I'm like, and my mind goes like, dude, this Bigfoot followed us home. And it's been, you know, it's been on my roof. And so I call my friend up and I tell him, I'm like, bro, you got to come down here and look at this. And I tell him, like, past couple of weeks, some weird stuff has been happening. And he goes, I'll be right there. And he comes over. And my roof is tall, man. I have vaulted ceilings. And I'm like, there's no way anything can jump up there. I look for scratch marks in the side of the house. There's nothing. And so he takes one look at those tracks and he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, Chewy, he goes, those aren't Sasquatch tracks, too. That's Dogman. And I'm like, Dogman? I'm like, I've never heard that term. What do you mean? And he goes, it's like a werewolf. And I told him, I was like a werewolf? I'm like, no way. You know, Bigfoot is one thing, but a werewolf? And he goes, look at him. And we got a good look at him. I'm like, dude, those are definitely some kind of canine track, you know, really weird. And you can see it's bipedal, like it's moving around up there like on 2 feet. And so I start freaking out. I'm like, what the heck is going on here, man? A dog, man. So I get on and I start researching it, and sure enough, I find all these encounters and stories, and one of the first ones I listen to is about a rooftop encounter, and my heart just sinks, man. I'm like, what in the heck? I'm like, what is going on? It's really weird. So I don't say anything to my wife. You know, I don't want to freak her out, and because I'm not 100% sold on it yet, you know, but I know something weird is happening. So some time goes on and, you know, little things would happen. Like, you know, my daughter would wake me up at 3-4 in the morning and she's like, Dad's, there's tapping on my window. And I'm like, tapping? I'm like, okay. Okay, let me go look, and I'll look outside. There's nothing. Turn the lights on and off, nothing. I'm like, tell me about it. She goes, it was hard tapping, like somebody, because around her window, there's gravel, like our landscape, we have some little rocks. She goes, it sounded like somebody picked up a rock and was tapping on my window, like really hard. And I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, whoa. And my mind was like, that's like a claw or something, you know, that's tapping. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, my mind is, it's like, is this really happening? Or, you know, maybe she's dreaming. And, you know, I'm trying to rationalize everything. And other times my dogs, I have little burrito sized dogs, you know, just little tiny chihuahua, shih tzu mixed dogs. And they'll, again, 3-4 in the morning, they start crying in our room. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, I think they need to go outside. But they're looking at the wall, but looking up. and they're crying and whimpering. And then I'll go and I'll try and grab them. They run under the bed. They wake, and another night they'll do it again and wake my wife up. And my wife's like, they need to go outside to go bathroom. And I'm, and in my mind is, I'm thinking like, I think they hear something out there. So I tell them, no, we're not going to take them out. You know, we'll just make sure we'll do it first thing in the morning. If they use the restroom in here, I'll clean it up. And so weird things like that were happening. And, you know, when all this COVID stuff hit, you know, my wife, I forgot to mention, she's a teacher. We have a private Christian school at my church, and so my wife is a teacher at the school, and so she's doing all the Zoom classes and recording her courses and all that. So she's sitting out back on our under our patio, and she's recording one of her classes, and I'm in here in my man cave doing something, and she comes barging through the door, and she's freaked out, and she's talking at 1,000 miles an hour. I can't understand her, but I know something bad's happened, and I think it's something wrong with the kids. And she says, she goes, a big black dog just looked over the fence at me. And I'm like,
what?
I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, recording my class. She goes, and a big black dog head with big ears. She goes, it had a mouthful of teeth. All you could see was white, mouthful of teeth. It looked at me, and she looked at it, and she screamed and jumped, and she grabbed her. When she was getting off the chair, she looked, and it was gone. And I'm like, okay. And she's like hysterical, right? And the thing is, like, our fence is like 7 foot tall. I can't see over it, you know? And I go out there, and I look, and this is daylight, in the middle of the day. And I go out there, and I don't see anything. I don't see any tracks. I don't see nothing. But she's sure that something looked at her. She saw it in the corner, right? She had to re-record her thing and everything. And so she's freaking out. And finally, I'm like, okay, you know what? I got to tell her about this. And I told her, I told her everything that's been happening, the things that we saw and what she heard in the roof and the tracks I found. And she was so mad at me. She's like, why didn't you tell me about this? And I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't want to freak you guys out. And I wasn't 100% believing it. And she was really ticked at me, man. And I was as a husband and a father, right? You're supposed to protect your kids. She was really mad at me for a while, and it just hit her so hard for this to happen. And when she saw it, she believed it. She's like, okay. She's like, well, I know that this dog man or whatever this thing is real, because it looked at me over the fence and it had a mouth full of teeth. And so we start freaking out, and I start doing more research. And we got an alarm system in the house, with every window has alarm, every door. I alarm it at night. So, because I started hearing stuff about these kids going out at night or being lured at night, and or them trying to come in, checking windows and all that. So we got an alarm system. We bought some pretty heavy duty firearms. We did a lot of training, and we couldn't tell anybody about this because we're freaked out. Like, who's going to, you know, I mean, come on, there's a werewolf that followed me home from the canyon, and it's been harassing us for a while, right? So some time goes on, and nothing else weird is happening. And another, you know, and I'm, again, doing something in my man cave. This is like my office as well. And my wife and my kids come running in, and they're kind of, you know, I know, like, they're really, something's going on. They're talking 1,000 miles an hour again. They go, was that you out there, Dad? Was that you out there scaring us? I'm like, no, I've been in here the whole time. And they said they were outside, the two girls, and they said that something pounded on the fence and shook it really hard. And they screamed, and they ran inside, and they came and told me. And I go out there. Again, there's nothing out there. I don't see anything. And they're like, it was you, huh, Dad? I'm like, it wasn't me. It's like, here, let me try this. So I go, and I start pounding on the fence, and I start shaking it. And they're like, it doesn't even come close to how the whole fence was moving and how loud this fence was pounding. They go, I go, well, it wasn't me. And we come inside, and my wife tells me, she goes, this thing, it's that thing again, huh? I tell her, I don't know. I was like, maybe it is. maybe somebody's pranking us or somebody, some other teenagers are doing something. Like, I don't know. She was at the kids aren't going to be able to go outside anymore. And she's freaked out. And I tell her, I'm like, babe, you know, we can't let this thing control us. You know, let's be cautious and let's, but she was like, no, our kids are not going outside. They didn't go outside for a while. And then things start to kind of die down. And, you know, we made our family rule. Nobody goes outside at night. You know, we stay inside once it starts to get dark, like nobody goes out. And so some time goes by and our kids are outside in the front in the daytime and we have our blinds open watching them. You know, we have a basketball hoop out front and they're just doing their thing. And my oldest one comes running in. She's like, Dad, a bear just ran down the street. And I'm like, a bear? She's like, yeah, I saw it. It's a huge bear. It went running down the street. And behind our house, a ways, there's a big pasture in the field, and they have horses over there. So I tell her, I was like, maybe it was a horse that you saw. She's like, no, it was a bear. And I tell her, okay, you know, I kind of doubted her because, you know, I'm like, that's a bear running down the street. My mind wasn't going to this creature or anything. I was like, maybe it was a big dog or one of those horses. And so, you know, we kind of let it go, and more time goes by. And we decide to go on a bike ride, me and my oldest daughter. And we want to go down, you know, because this canyon rim is down from my house and it's a beautiful area. People are always walking down there. There's bike riding and family walks and all that. So we decide to go there, me and my oldest one on our bikes. And when you go down this canyon trail, it kind of has a downgrade and there's houses closer to the canyon than mine. And one of these houses, they have this little German, it's not a little, it's still a pup. It's a German Shepherd, and it still has one of its ears down. And every time we drive by there on our bikes, it's holding his toy like he wants to play. And there's no backyard to this house. It's open. And so we start going, and she's in front of me because it's downgrade, because if something happens that, you know, if I'm in front of her, I have to go uphill to help her. But if she's in front of me, I would come to her quicker. So we're passing this corner where we see this dog that we always see. He's never barked one day at us, never made a noise. He just holds his toy and looks at us. And as we're going around this bend, this dog is just barking and barking, looking at this area in the canyon. And again, there's rock chucks and raccoons. There's all kinds of critters that come up from that canyon rim, and they eat the grass, and they really harass the neighborhood right there. So my mind is like, oh, he's barking at the critters. So we're going down, and my daughter's in front of me, and she's not too far from me, but I'm watching her, and we're going, and she just flies off her bike. She just jumps off her bike, and on the side of this canyon, this trail, there's a lot of goat heads and stickers and stuff. She lands in these stickers, and she books it. And like I like to say, she flew off this bike, and she ran. And as she's running, she's yelling. She goes, there it is, there it is. And so I get to where her bike is left, and I jump off, and I hear movement to my left where the canyon is at. And all I see is black fur, and it's going deep. It's like climbing down the cliff, going down in the canyon. And so I jump off my bike, and we run. And I just tell her, go, go, go. And we start running. And once we get far enough, I stop, and I'm like, what happened? She says, there was a black bear. She goes, a bear. She goes, it was looking at me, and it made a movement towards me, and it turned, and when it saw you, it ran back into the canyon. She goes, it looked like it was going to grab me. And I tell her, and my mind is like, I'm thinking it's this creature. I'm like, well, what did it look like? Tell me. She goes, it had the big ears in the mouth, like a snout, like a bear. I go, was it sitting down or what? She goes, I don't know. She goes, and I started digging her brain a little bit, and she says it had a massive neck. She goes, it had a big neck. And so my mind is going like, you know, so I hear that some of these creatures have thicker hair around the neck, or like, almost like a mane, not quite a mane. And so I don't know what to do, right? And I'm freaking out. Our bikes are still there. So we go home, and I call the fish and game. And we're, you know, me and my wife, well, I told my wife first, and she's livid again. She's mad. She's scared. She's shaking. She's like, you have to do something. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, and call the police and say that, you know, werewolf has been harassing us, you know? So I called a fishing game and I told them exactly what my daughter said. I said, you know, my daughter said a bear lunged at her from the canyon rim and they came down. And when they came down, they came with their guns and dart guns and they were ready. They were ready for some action. And I pointed to the location and they're like, hey, have you heard anything about big black dog around here running around? And I told them I didn't say anything about a big black dog. They're like, well, we're just wondering maybe if it was a dog she saw instead of a bear. I'm like, oh no, she's pretty adamant that it was a bear, not a dog. They're like, all right. So they go down to that area and they're on edge. I could tell they're on edge. And my mind is thinking like, man, they know something. Like something's going on. Like, why would they say big black dog and this and that, and that. And they go down there and they're like, okay, you know what? Where you guys saw this thing at, there's no mud. So I didn't leave any tracks and it didn't snag. Like there was no branches in that direct area. So they made it sound like it knew that it wasn't going to leave evidence, you know, like it wasn't going to leave any trace of itself, is how they were saying it in a way that I was understanding it. Like, what? And they go, well, we can't set traps right here, you know, because the community that's close by, but we're going to go down there and we're going to talk to our supervisors and we're going to see if we can track if it was a bear. I'm like, all right. They're like, well, just don't come down here by yourself. If you come down, make sure it's in the daytime and be sure you come in groups. And so we left it at that. You know, I called them a few days later. They said they never found it, that they never found any evidence of it. And so I was just like, okay, man, that's really, really weird. So that was like our last straw. We were like, you know what? We're people of faith, you know, we believe in, you know, in the paranormal. We know that there's more than just to what the general public believes. You know, we know there's more out there. And so I decided, my wife and I decided to talk to our oldest daughter about it. And I didn't want to, man. I was just like, I don't want to tell her about this, you know. But we decided, you know, what was best for our family, that we talked to her about it. And so as I talked to her, I told her, hey, you know what, when you saw that bear, you know, I know it wasn't a bear, it was something else. And she's like, what do you mean? And I told her, and she was also in shock. And then, just like her mom, she was mad at me too. And she told me, she goes, I told you I saw that big thing running down the road, Dad. She goes, I told you I saw it. She goes, it was that thing, right? That dog man. I was like, I don't know. She goes, it had to have been. She goes, it had to have been. And I apologized. She was like, I'm sorry for not believing your sighting that you saw. And so we were like, okay, well, what are we going to do as a family? So what we decided was to put our faith, really like hunker down in our faith. Like this whole thing brought us closer together as our family and even our faith. It built up our faith. So I have a plum tree in the backyard. What I did is I took some branches out and we made some crosses out of these plum tree branches and I covered them in anointing oil. You know, since I'm a pastor, we do a lot of anointing oils and stuff. So we prayed for these crosses, put anointing oil on, and we buried them in the four corners of our property. And basically we made a hedge of protection around our property. And once we did that, we haven't had anything else on our property. We haven't had no more tapping on the windows, dogs crying, looking at the walls, things on the roof, you know, the thing looking out over the fences and hitting the fence. And, you know, we haven't, none of that. We haven't any more encounters. The last weird thing that happened regarding this creature was on our fireworks show for New Year's. You know, we went to the front and 12 o'clock, we lit some fireworks and, you know, the kids are having a great time, you know, they're drinking cocoa and giggling and running and doing these fireworks. And I bought this sprinkler one where it just showers and it's really loud. It whistles really, really loud and pops a bunch of, you know, like just a lot of bangs. And so I lit that one and it's going. And my wife says, what is that? And I'm like, what is what? She goes, you hear that? And I started listening. And we could hear this loud roar, screech, yell, whatever you want to call it, that was coming from the canyon as this firework was so loud going off. It was going, and then once the firework stopped, this thing was still yelling, like it didn't stop, and that's what blew me away. I'm like, what can scream that long, that loud? You know, it had a massive lungs or something, and then it went to a low. It was just going really loud, and then it went low and it stopped, and we had more fireworks to go. But I was like, all right, guys, time to go in. A fireworks show is cut short this year, and we go inside, and that was the last thing regarding this creature on my property that we've had. But so yeah, that's what opened the window or the door for me researching these, and then hearing about all these other encounters that people have had in my area with this creature or some creature like this. And it's just been mind blowing.
Well, that's why I wondered. So you did find that there were other people that had experience with this dogman creature.
Yeah, there has been.
So a couple things. I wanted to go back to the first story. Like, have you ever gone to your neighbor, the guy that's between you and the canyon, and said, all right, dude, what have you seen? Because if that guy, if he's right there by the entrance and the dog man creature is, we're going to assume, coming from the canyon, that guy's got to know something. Bigfoot, dog man, whatever, right? Have you ever had that discussion?
No, I haven't. I've tried to talk to him just to open up a conversation, and he's not really a person that wants to talk. But yeah, I've wanted to, dude. It took me everything to tell my wife, right? And I was like, man, I'm a pastor, and we have, you know, it's like, it's the biggest church here in the Magic Valley. You know, a couple thousand members, and our school, there's hundreds of kids in the school, and I oversee the school, and really outstanding person in our community. And I was just like, man, I don't know what to do, what to say. You know, I'm gonna be ridiculed. And because when I first heard it, I was like, werewolf. I'm like, whatever, man, you know, that's funny. But I've never talked to anybody in our neighborhood about it. I did one night, we were playing basketball, and there's kids down the street that live closer to the canyon. We were playing basketball in the front, and it started to get dark. And I'm like, hey, you guys should get home. They're like, what? We always play out at night. I'm like, well, you never know, man. We live close to the canyon. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, there's could be bears and mountain lions down there. And they go, oh, you know what we saw? I was like, what? They said that they were on the canyon rim throwing rocks into the trees, and it was getting dark. They said, and then a big shadow came out of the tree line, and it had big horns on the top of its head, and it was standing on 2 feet. And they said they thought it was the devil. And my mind was like, no, those are ears. And they thought they were horns.
Ah, yeah.
They were okay. Ears. And so they told me that story. And so I was like, oh, okay. So that's pretty much just like the farthest I've gotten in my little community of neighbors and people down the street of this creature.
So it's like one of those deals where there's probably every other person has a sighting of their own or knows somebody who does, and nobody wants to talk. Yeah. And because they don't want to be ridiculed. And now I do want to ask you this about this dogman creature, because and I don't know if you've heard our episode where the judge who's with us quite often on her, and if you've ever heard his dogman encounter.
Yeah, the cornfield.
Yes. And so that led us, you know, we talked to Linda Gottfried on an episode, and it kind of led us to do some of our own investigation around here. And we kind of, based off of Linda's direction, kind of figured out that maybe these creatures are tied to Indian burial mounds or places of is there something like that around where you guys live or down in the canyon that maybe this thing is protecting or this thing is looking over? I mean, I don't know. Is that anything you've looked at?
Yeah, I've actually looked in that, and that's quite possible. Then I know the natives lived all around this area, and they, you know, the canyon was a big part of their culture. Now they are, there's a reservation in Pocatello, Idaho Falls, that's maybe an hour and a half from me. And so I know this whole area, and I mean, we live in the Magic Valley, so in that there's a lot of magical stuff and weird things that happen, you know, and it stems a lot from the native culture.
Well, and the one thing that gets me about, you know, the Dogman creature is, it's just like that, like, to me, those things are way more dangerous than a Bigfoot, just for whatever reason, okay? And to me, like, what's it matter if you're with your daughter on your bike? Like, that kind of creature should, in my mind, just be able to snag both of you and just take off with you if it wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is it scared to attack when there's more than one person? You know, yeah. but that seems to be, it just seems to be the people that I've heard have had these encounters. The stuff that keeps it from really getting them, in my mind, it's almost like, man, how does that, like, does it not really want to get you? Does it just want to get you out of where you're at? Is almost what it seems like it's doing, you know?
Yeah, and I've had the many nights, man, where I've wrestled with this, because, guys, it always felt like it was one step ahead. Like, I just saw it that one night in the canyon, but me and my kids have seen it. My wife saw it, and it was always a step ahead, and I was getting mad for a while there. Like, why don't you show yourself to me? Why don't you come for me? You know, why do you go for my kids and my wife? And then I started thinking, like, that's really, like, predatory to go for, you know what I'm saying? It's like that predator, like, why is it, was it enjoy harassing them and seeing them tear? Like my mind was just everywhere. And yeah, I've wrestled with that. Like, why do you choose to stay a step ahead of me and just to know that, you know, that you harassed my family, but not me directly, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I don't envy anybody that has ever had a run-in with these creatures, with Dogman. And now, so you definitely, after seeing what you thought was a Bigfoot down in the canyon, there's a big difference between what you saw that night and what's hanging out in the backyard and running up and down the street.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, when I first heard the term Dogman, I was like, I had like a funny picture in my mind. But my grandma is from Michigan, and, you know, she was born in Michigan, lived a lot of years there. She, when I was a kid, she used to tell me about the Michigan Wolfman. And
oh, yeah. Yep.
She would tell me that she lived outside of Saginaw. And so she would say that it would eat the homeless people and it would take people from the railroad tracks. And as a little kid, she's telling me this, and I thought, I really didn't take it seriously. That was just scary stories she's trying to tell me. But now, like, I'm connecting it. I'm like, whoa, like if my grandma even knew about this thing and her area. And, you know, I've been coming back and forth from Southern Texas or Central Texas and Idaho. You know, I'd stay there a couple years. My family would come back to Idaho, stay in Idaho a couple years and go back. And we lived in Hays County, which is outside of Austin. And in this, my grandpa's house, he had some woods behind his house. And I was probably about 9 years old or so. And a friend and mine were, we were having a sleepover, and we were sleeping in the living room on one of those couches that turn into a bed. And we're watching some kind of scary movie or something. And we're sitting there, and we're watching the movie, and we have a bowl of snacks. And my grandpa's door is like right by the living room, and our porch to the backyard, it has a big window and it goes straight to the woods. And we heard a creak, like somebody was walking, and we both looked and we waited. We didn't see anything. And my mind was like, oh, the movie, you know, the movie's hyping us up. So I go back in and I'm digging in my snacks, and we hear the creak again, but I don't look this time. I'm digging in my snacks, and my friend, he screams bloody murder, and the bowl of snacks goes flying everywhere. And my grandpa comes rushing out, and he's like, "What happened? What happened?" And my friend says, "A baboon looked through the window. It was a big baboon just looked at me." And my grandpa grabs his shotgun, and he runs out there, and, you know, there's nothing out there. And he swears up and down that it was looked like a baboon. Something looked like a snout kind of a thing. And you know, I grew up believing in Bigfoot, and I didn't know that there was potentially different types or, you know, things that look like a Bigfoot, but that has a dog snout. And, you know, I didn't know any of that. And so even that encounter brought back, I was like, man, that was, maybe it was some kind of weird creature like that we saw or that he saw out there. And the area is called Hayes County. And the reason why I believed in Bigfoot at such a young age is my uncle, who's also from Michigan, and he was living in Hayes County with us at the time. He was telling me when he was a teenager in Hayes County that he was driving on the back roads with friends, and they were getting high and smoking weed, right? And he says that they pulled over on the side of this little dirt road, and there's a lot of weeds and bushes on each side. And he says he's in the passenger side and has his window down, and they're smoking and laughing and telling jokes and stuff. And he says right next to his face, he says two giant hands open up the reeds, and he says a Bigfoot stuck his face in the reeds, and it was about a foot from his face. And he says he locked eyes with it, and it had a giant scar on its face. And he says it looked at him, and one at a time it looked at everybody in the vehicle, and they were frozen. And then it just let the reeds go, and they could hear it walk off, and they sped off. And they went and told our family, and the family just said, "You guys were high, like you guys, you know, we can't believe you." And so he told me that story as a kid, and that area that he saw it was not too far. So I've always been really intrigued by Bigfoot since then. And so it just, you know, was such a cool thing. And it opened up that whole new world of stuff that happened to me here in Idaho. I mean, the rabbit hole, guys, I couldn't believe. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So when I started researching this, first researching my area, right? And then I get into this whole missing 411 thing. And I watch the documentary, and dude, the first documentary film is filmed at about an hour and a half from my house. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? That whole David Pilates thing, it's in Idaho Falls or, you know, Pocatello area right there. And all these, you know, and that just blew me away. I'm like, that is crazy. And it takes me back to memories as a kid, again, that I just didn't tie things together, you know, as a young kid. Maybe 7 years old or so, when I lived in Idaho at the time, my mom's boyfriend at the time, they had a ranch out here in the Magic Valley. And his nephew, he had my little cousin was a little boy, like maybe 4 years old or so, 3 years old. He came up missing. And today they still haven't found him. He's on the missing child's thing here in Idaho. His name is Ruben Morales. You guys can look him up. And I remember there was a big old thing, it was all over the news. But what happened was he came up missing. And so they brought the dogs in, and the dogs got his scent from the house, and they tracked it all. I mean, it was like a mile and a half, 2 miles. They tracked them, and it went through a couple fields. It went through an old abandoned railroad yard, a couple more fields, and it disappeared at the creek. And all they found was his shoe. But the weird thing is, like, again, this missing 411, the time frame that this little kid couldn't walk a mile and a half through the fields, through the abandoned railroad yard, all that stuff. And they drained the river, and they never found him. And so I was researching the missing 411, and it's the same stuff, man. A little kid traveling great distances and weird stuff, finding his shoe at the creek bed. And so all these things were happening, and it just blew me away. I'm like, man, I'm like in the darn epic center of it all.
So does that, like as you step outside to go start your day, do you like does it make the hair on the back of your head stand up? Like, okay, what's going to happen today? Or, you know,
absolutely. When I go check if I got to go throw the garbage at night, if I forget to do it, or the trash is coming in the morning and I got to put it out there at night, I mean, I'm always freaked out, bro. Like, you really, it's just changed me and changed my wife. And, you know, getting something out of the truck at night, like, it's always on the mind, man. Like, it never leaves. It's just always there.
I mean, do you think about leaving? Or do you guys love it there otherwise?
We've thought about leaving, but more it's like my thoughts, like, I'm not going to let whatever this is push me out of my home. And this area is just a beautiful area. And I mean, I've battled the whole thing with, we're not going to the canyon no more. I mean, me and my daughter would go on daddy daughter dates and go fishing down there and stuff. And it just took all that from us, man. But it took some time to where finally we got to a place where we're like, you know what, we're going to go hiking. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go enjoy the family walks and have the picnics right there, that beautiful area. In the daytime, of course, and of course we're packing heat too, you know, at the same time. We're just taking precautions, but we decided we weren't going to let this push us out of our home and our area.
Well, Chewy, these are some of the best stories, I think, Jason. I mean, I think you'll agree. I've been on edge since you started telling the story. And I didn't even, I'm in a nice, well-lit office. I don't even have to worry about walking in the canyon without my flashlight. But I'm just going to tell our listeners, we're going to end this episode here because we're going to come back next week and Chewy's got some stories from his experiences as a pastor, that we're going to get into. And if they're half as good as Dog Man peeking over the fence and stuff, I think everybody's in for a real treat. So Chewy, thanks for sharing these cryptid stories with us, and can't wait till next week.
Yeah, thank you again for letting me do this. And one more small thing that I forgot to tell you guys.
Okay, all right.
This whole missing 411 stuff. I sent you guys this picture of this red tent down in the canyon.
Yeah.
And so my friend, the investigator, he went down there to that same area we had the encounter. And he says that he found this shredded up tent site with the tent shredded. And there was empty bullet casings all around the tent, but there was no people. There was no bodies, nothing. And it was going to get dark. So he took off. And when he went back in the morning early at first light, he says it was gone. It was all cleaned up and there was nothing there. And so that was really, really weird.
That's the picture you sent me, or that there's one? Are you serious? Okay. Well, we'll definitely put that and some of the other pictures up when this episode comes out, because that's crazy. So here's the thing is, he's works for the federal government, right? Your buddy. And he's scared, wants to get out of there. Who's coming in then to clean the mess up? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, who did, you know, it was really suspicious. But our thought on it, and him just looking at the area, says that somebody had a rude awakening and they fired all their shots they can get. And whatever it was, still demolished the tent and threw all their stuff all around, ripped up their bags and stuff, and there was nobody ever found. And we always have missing persons reports from the canyon, people hiking. I mean, I'll send you guys another one. There's one of this car that's overturned on the canyon rim, and the people are missing out of the car. They don't know it's a news clipping. They don't know where the people at. And I've heard those things of these creatures running across the road at night to get you to wreck or to come out and investigate. And the people are gone, man. They just never found.
Wow. That's crazy. Hey, the picture of the picnic table, that you sent. Jason, wait till you see this picnic table. This is one of those metal picnic tables with, like, the mesh top, okay? Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you and I together, Jason, on our best day, couldn't grab this corner and twist it the way this thing is twisted. I mean, that's either a bear, and I don't think a bear's doing that unless it's getting some. I mean, whoever did this or whatever did this, has some power to him.
No, I don't I haven't seen the picture yet, but yeah, I don't think a bear would be able to twist because they don't have the opposable thumbs. But yet, you know, they probably can, you know, put their weight on it and mash it down, especially a grizzly, you know.
This isn't mashed down. This looks like somebody said, yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's straight up twisted up, man. Like, and there's no vehicle,
and the metal post or whatever you want to call it that goes between the benches on this is bent. I mean, it's like
when I found that camping that day, and we were looking around our campsite, and we found the more like that. The tree with the claw marks is the same, like 10 feet from that table. And we found that when I was camping up in the mountains. I was like, whoa. It's like, maybe we should go find another spot.
Yeah, because it literally looks like something about 700 pounds sat on the corner of this picnic table.
Jeez.
Is about what it, yeah. And you still go to
700 pounds too.
Oh,
it's from the shadows joke right there.
That's a front inside from the shadows joke. Yep. And you still go down to this place, Chewy. I'm not sure that you're in your right mind. So on that note, we'll wrap this episode up, and we'll be back next week with part two with Chewy.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
20 at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.